All right, we're getting there. So Parshas Vayera opens with a discussion of Avraham Avinu's hospitality. Well, really, it's a story about Avraham Avinu's bris milah and his deep sense of discomfort and God coming, levaker es achila, as Rashi says. Vayera elav avaya. The Almighty reveals himself to Avraham, beilene mamre. He doesn't say anything. There's no vayoymer, right? There's no communication. So the assumption is that it's only for the purpose of revelation. And as such, Rashi therefore tells us it was levaker es achila. But this very quickly shifts from the focus on God's presence or revelation. Immediately afterwards, the Torah records that Avraham raises his eyes. Vayisa eina vayar. He raises his eyes and he sees. Vehine shloisha anoshim nitzavim olav. There are three people who are kind of waiting on him or standing before him. Vayar, and he sees. Vayarotz lekrosim. And he races towards them. Mipesach ha'oil, from the opening of his tent. Vayishtachu arzo, and he bows low, and Avraham Avinu then begins to beg them, please come and partake of some hospitality. So we have a very famous concept right in the beginning of this week's Torah portion that opens up with divine revelation and swiftly shifts into hospitality. In the words of the Rambam in Hilchas Evel, Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, G'doylo hachnosas orchim me'akbolas pnei ha'shchina. To be able to provide hospitality for guests is even more important. It's greater than experiencing divine revelation. How do we know this? Well, Avraham Avinu was in the midst of divine revelation. And instead of continuing to enjoy the presence of God and bask in the glory of God, instead he focuses his attention, vayar, he sees, v'hini shleisha anoshim, there's these people. He has to run off and take care of them. Of course, one could ask the question, we learn it from Avraham Avinu. But how did Avraham Avinu himself know that? Maybe not so respectful. God comes and gives you his personal revelation and his presence, and it's levaker es achila. Hashem is showing his appreciation for Avraham Avinu's sacrifice, his dedication. He had a bris milah at the age of 99. And Avraham said, you know, it's nice of you to come visit, but I have other things to do. I have to take care of guests. Who did Avraham learn from? How did he know this was the right thing to do? So the Rebbe once suggested that Avraham Avinu knew this was the right thing to do because he understood that the fact that it was a very hot day was supposed to prevent visitors from coming. In the words of the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Hoitzi Chama Min Artika, that God took the sun out of its cover or sheath, whatever that means, there are various ways of explaining that, what that means. And the point was it should be so hot that nobody should be out and about. And as such, Avraham would be spared the effort of trying to welcome guests and bring people into his tent. So Avraham Avinu now receives revelation from God, and he makes a simple calculation. If revelation from God was enough to ensure that Avraham Avinu wouldn't involve himself in looking for guests, why would God have to make it a hot day? It could be a regular day. There could be people coming. All that would have to happen was divine revelation. And once there's divine revelation, Avraham Avinu is not engaging in hospitality anymore. But from the fact that Hashem made it an unnaturally hot day, so Avraham understood that the extreme heat was meant to prevent him from having to involve himself in hospitality, and this he didn't want. But he also understood that it was not enough for Hashem to simply reveal himself to him. And as such, Avraham Avinu understands that Gedola, it's even greater, the idea of Hakbolas, than Hakbolas Pnei Hashchina, it's even greater to have the opportunity of Achnasas Orchim. And Avraham Avinu dedicates himself to welcoming visitors and to offering his famous holy hospitality. So today's class is going to be about Avraham Avinu's hospitality, what we can learn from the method that Avraham Avinu uses and employs, and how this actually informs and guides our Hachnasas Archim in today's day and age. And I'm going to focus in today's class on three verbs. It's really one verb, but it's kind of three synonymous verbs that repeat themselves. Avraham Avinu does something thrice. And the first time you could say, well, maybe that was necessary. And the second time you could say, well, maybe he had to. And by the third time, we're going to exhaust the possibility of it just being circumstantial. And then we're going to prove from the Medrash that, in fact, it's not just circumstantial, but it's something which is highly laudatory on behalf of Avraham Avinu. We'll question why that was necessary, and we'll eventually come to a new understanding and appreciation of Avraham Avinu's Hachnasas Archim. So now you know what we're about to do. With this preface, L'chaim. Avraham Avinu sees Vayorotz Likrosam. It says the word twice. In Pasuk Beis it says Vayisa Eina Vayar. Avraham raised his eyes and he saw. And then it says what he saw. He saw these three people. There they were standing, Nitzavim Alav. Vayar. And then he saw. And after seeing it the second time, Vayorotz. What did he see the first time? What did he see the second time? And why did this cause him ultimately to run? Just to understand what happened here. So there was twice something that he saw, and then Avraham Avinu's running. So let me share with you what the Medrash Rabbah says, and then we'll see how this filters through in the words of the Rishonim. The Medrash Rabbah tells us that Avraham Avinu said, let me see if the Shechina waits until I bring these guests in. And he says, Imroya ani she'shechina mamtenes aleihem. If I see that the Shechina waits, ani yodea, I will know from this, Shehem bnei Adam gedolim, that these are no ordinary people, and that I have a sacred duty to extend hospitality to them. And then he said, V'mani re'ya isen chelkim kavod elu le'elu. If I see that they treat each other with respect, well, then I have an idea of who they are and how you're supposed to treat these people. These are dignified people, despite the fact that they may not look like very dignified people. And what does he see? Vayar. And then he sees. He sees the Shechina's waiting. And he sees that these people indeed treat themselves with respect. How did he see that? Because he saw the three malachim, that the Gadol Shebehem, who was Malach Mechol, was Be'emtza in the middle. Gavriel, who was the smaller malach, is on the right side. And then we have Rafael, who is smaller than Gavriel, on the left side. And he saw that they showed deference towards the senior amongst them. He said, these are respectful people. And when he saw this, Yoda Shehem Bnei Adam Mehogonim, he said, these are fine people. These are refined people. And therefore, he decided to run. So why did he decide to run? The Medrash tells us there's two vayars, he saw people, and then he saw the circumstances indicating that these are people deserving of his hospitality. And then it says, vayarotz, that he ran. So the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu's tent was wide open. Oyel Palon, or Oyel Polin, was an open tent, Shal Avraham Avinu. And it was mefulash. Avraham Avinu ensured that his tent was wide open. And in front of his tent, Abiyudin says, was Kahadein Drumilus. It was like this wide open alley, a wide open area that Avraham Avinu had built like a porch in front of his tent. And he said like this. He said to himself, Im ani raya isim sheif ligu es darkam, if I see that they stop on their way, so which it would indicative lehiskara if derech kan, that they're coming closer to here. So the Medrash says, ani edeh sheim boi netzli, that I know they're coming to me. If I know they're coming, I'll greet them when they come. What happened? But then he saw, kivan shera isam shefligu, since he saw that they began to go the other direction, and he would lose the opportunity to offer hospitality, miyad vayaratz lekrosim. Immediately, Avraham Avinu pursued them, mipesach ha'oyel, and then he begins his bowing and his respectful request that they stop and spend some time in his tent with him. So, from the Medrash, it seems that the vayar, vayorotz, is out of necessity. Why did Avraham run? Because they were leaving. He thought they were leaving. Now, this is not a simple thing, to run after having a bris milah, especially if you're 99 years old. You know, there's a in the days of email, this came around my email more times than I could count. And now in the days of Facebook, it's come around in memes more times than I can count. And it goes something like this. A little boy is getting a bris milah, and he asks another boy, "Does it hurt?" And the boy says, "I don't know, but I had a bris milah. I couldn't walk for a year afterwards." So the point is, it's not an easy thing to run. And there's a medrash about this, by the way. We'll get to the medrash in a minute.
It was the third day, which is the worst day.
And it's the third day, it's the worst day. I mean, it's a big deal. So why did he run? I mean, like, you could holler. He ran because he thought they were leaving.
But did he know they were angels, or did he think they were Arabs?
On the surface, in Pshat, it certainly seems he thought they were people. People, the medrash says Arabs.
Oh, Arabs.
It's people.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
People. So let me take you through this medrash in the words of Rashi. Rashi says, what is the meaning of that he saw three, he saw them, and then he saw, and then vayarots? So Rashi says like this, Mahu vayar vayar, why does it say vayar twice? And Rashi answers, and you know, it would certainly seem that Rashi's words are taken from the Bereishis Rabbah that we just reviewed. Harishin kemashmoi, the first time he saw is literal, he saw them. Vahasheni lashon havana, the second time is, not that he saw physically, but he saw. It means, I see what you mean. He came to realize, came to understand. So nistakel, he looked and he saw shahayu nitzavim b'makom echad. He saw that they weren't moving. They were kind of immobilized, frozen. And Haven, shalehayu ratz reitzim lahatichi, understood that they didn't want to bother him, that they had as if noticed that here was a man who just went through a major surgery. And therefore, because they didn't want, so they were like as if hesitating. And because they were hesitating, so Avram goes and he pursues them. What we would call in English, he chased them down. But it's interesting, Rashi a little bit, he modifies the words of the Medrash. He doesn't say that they were leaving. He says he saw they were standing in one place. And the truth is, because in Pshuta Shel Mikra, it doesn't say anything about them leaving. It just says, Vayar, v'hi yinei shleish anasim nitzavim. Nitzavim comes from the terminology of staying in one place. So in Pshuta Shel Mikra, you cannot say that they were coming and then they started going the other way. If you read the verse simply, it says nitzavim. So they were standing. They started to come and then they stopped. So it's not so clear why Avram had to run in that case. It doesn't seem that there was a need to chase him down. But nonetheless, that's when Avram started running. In the words of the Abarbanel, he says like this. He says, Kasher Hirgish Avram Shoya Anoshim Gedolim, when he understood that these were prominent people, like we saw in the Medrash. Like Kram Mimkaima, he didn't say, hey, you guys. That's not appropriate. You holler at some people. He didn't say, Gushuno Eli, why don't you come over here, please? But rather, Imkol Chushase, with all of the weakness that he felt from the Bris Milah, Ratz Lekrosim, he ran forward to greet him. Holoch lekrasim bimirutza. He went with great haste. Okay, so Abarbanel also doesn't seem to take this medrash of chasing him down literally. And he says he wanted, out of respect, he wanted to demonstrate his willingness out of respect, but now it's no longer out of necessity. It's out of respect for them, so he's running. Although Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, the medrash says, poinim l'derech acheres. They turn their backs to him. So you look into the Rishonim, how they say it. Avraham Avinu ran. He ran because he had to chase him down. Or he ran because he wanted to show respect for them. Okay, let's not make a big deal out of Avraham Avinu's running. He ran a little. He ran, but, you know, don't read more into it than is necessary. As the Ma'am Loyes puts it, he says, Vayar vayaretz lekrosam harei lecha'ira kasha. He says, there's a big question here. And nobody really asks this question. The Ma'am Loyes is the only one who articulates it openly. He says, Lama hayatzarech larutz. Why did they have to run? What did they have to run for? I mean, you're not well. That's not exactly a bleeding finger. It's hard to run. Like, why did he run?
It could
undo the healing, in fact. So he says, Ela remez yesh bedavar shehem esrachku. This alludes to the notion that they did seem to back off. Kedesh loy lahatrichay. And therefore, ratz lekrosim. There seems to be indication that Avraham Avinu kind of had to run. If he didn't chase him down, if he didn't run, maybe they wouldn't come. Or so he thought. So Avraham had to run. No okay, fine. You say so. Don't read. Let's not read too much into this. Yes, Avraham Avinu ran. However, it was out of necessity. Well, so you might think. Okay. So let's go. That's a little bit. Scene two. Fine. So Avraham Avinu now has them coming over, and this is really nice. He says to them, please have some water, you know, wash up a little, rest under the shade. I'm going to give you some bread to eat. And I know you're in a rush, but I want to take care of you. And then Avraham Avinu, back to Avraham. So he settles them in. And then verse 6, what does he do now? Now the Torah's verb is vayimaher. Vayimaher Avraham. He goes with great haste. Like the Hebrew mehirut. He goes with great haste. And this time he's running not towards the Archim, and he's running towards his wife. He runs back into the tent, El Sarah. And he says to Sarah, what does he say to Sarah? He is vayimaher. He runs with great haste. What does he say to Sarah? He says, Mahari, now you act with great haste. Prepare quickly. Shlosh seim kemach, 3 measures of flour. And he gives Sarah instructions, and he tells her how to make the bread. So in verse 6, we see Avraham rushes, vayimaher, and we see not only does Avraham rush, but Avraham, in fact, urges Sarah to act with great haste. Okay, this is the second unusual verb here. It would seem to be a powerful enough lesson if Avraham interrupted receiving God's countenance and instead turned his attention towards these guests and extended hospitality, especially in view of the fact that Avraham just had surgery. But the Torah emphasizes the idea of vayaratz. Okay, so he had to run the first time. But again, haste, vayimahir Avraham. Avraham goes with great haste. Why does he act with great haste this time? Okay, let's take a look and see what Chazal say. Why does he rush forward with great haste? And he runs to Sarah and he says, Mahari, he acted with great haste. And then he told her to act with great haste. So the Medrash HaChafetz says, take a look, he says, Kama mitzvahs chavivos al Avraham. How much did Avraham cherish a mitzvah? And not just Avraham, but al anshei beisai, was on the people in his house. He wanted to make sure that not only he cherished the mitzvah, but he, together with Sarah, they were in this together. He says, Mari, let's do this fast. And here the Medrash HaChafetz says, we see this because it says, Vayaretz l'krasam, he ran to greet them. And here we see a pattern starting to emerge, says the Medrash HaChafetz. First of all, he ran, Vekan vayimahir Avraham. So the Medrash HaChafetz sees a continuum of what we see earlier in verse 2 where it says, Vayaretz. And here what it says in verse 6, Vayimaher, that there's sort of a continuum where in which Avraham Avinu is doing things in great haste. In the words of Ralbag, sometimes known as Gersonides, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershon, he says like this, Humiher va'asa lahem mishta godel. He rushed and he made them this amazing meal. And he did it b'mehirus nifla. He did it with incredible alacrity, very, very swiftly. Why did he do that? What was the rush? He's always running. First he's running towards them, and now he's running to prepare the meal. What was the rush? So the Ralbag says, Lihi yoysam nechpozim lulechas. He saw that they were itching to go. They didn't want to chill. They said, we're on the way, we got a mission. And they did have a mission. It was a destroying mission of Sodom. But he doesn't know that. He got the sense they were in a rush. So therefore, Avraham Avinu prepares things quickly, and he gives them, because they're rushing to go, so he says he wanted to make sure that the food would be prepared quickly because they had to leave. That's the sense he got. Okay. And the words of the Abarbanel, that Avraham, as we mentioned, saw that they were people of great value and importance, and that he went out of respect. Mihiru ba'atzmei. Now, Abarbanel is following the same line of logic. He says, Avraham Avinu is demonstrating respect. He's rushing to do everything quickly. He's showing honor to these people. Reb Shmuel Masanis was a great sage of Damascus some 800 years ago. He wrote a sefer which we call today the Bereshis Rabba Zuta, Bereshis Zuta, collection of Midrashim. So he says something very interesting which is not found elsewhere. He says, why did Avraham have to go himself? Vayimaher Avraham ha'ela. He says, you know why? Avraham was afraid that if you sent somebody else, they wouldn't go fast enough. So it's all about the speed. He had to do this fast. So once again, from Ralbag's perspective, Avraham may have sensed the need to do things quickly. Whereas Abarbanel says, this was the way he showed respect by doing this quickly. But the fact is that this is extraordinarily swift. He's doing things with great haste, as quickly as he could. And like the Medrash HaChefetz says, this is compelling. There's a narrative that's being conveyed to us. You know, they say once, twice, but three times, that's already. So now we're going to go forward. Vayimar el Avram, Avram goes quickly. Take a look in the next verse. Tell Sarah to bake some bread. And then, you know, can't just have bread. Where's the beef, as they say? Vel habakar rots Avram. The man is running again. Now he's chasing down a calf. And then it says, Vayikach ben Bokar Rach v'toiv. And the sages learn this is Ben and Bokar and Rach v'toiv, that this is actually three calves. And here, Vayitan Ahanar, he gives it to the young lad. This is Yishmael. Vayimar lasei. He urges him to do it with haste. Avram chases down the cow, catches the cow, slaughters the cow, gives him to the young lad, and he says, do it with haste. So, three psukim, almost in a row, and all of them emphasize the concept of haste. So with regard to this third expression, where Avraham Avinu is suddenly now once again chasing down the calf, here the Medrash Agada says, "Velabaka rots mikan shetzadikim rotsim lases mitzvah." From here we see that tzadikim run to do a mitzvah. So it's not just out of necessity. The Medrash clearly seems to identify this running as meaningful, and Avraham is showing how quick he is to perform a mitzvah. He does it with haste. And that's why Avraham himself chases down the calf. Now, the Rashbam says something very interesting. He says, Lefi shadarkam nochotz leleches, because these people were in a rush, hutzrech loro to lemayer, Avraham had to run and rush. And he made them lots of good food. And he said little and did a lot. Emer va'at va'aseh harbe, as the Mishnah says. However, Rashbam says you cannot run away from the fact that Avraham Avinu ran to offer hospitality. And therefore, Rashbam concludes with the following six words. He says, Ulahagid chashivusay shel Avraham nichtav kolze. All of this was written to talk about how good Avraham was. The Torah wants us to know about Avraham's ways. Namely, not only that he gave the hospitality, but that he did it with haste. I don't want to say did it in a rush, because doing things in a rush is usually not doing things well. He did it with haste. He rushed to do the mitzvah of hospitality. The Medrash tells us that despite the fact that in Pshat there may be some necessity for the haste in which Avraham acted, ultimately you must know that Avraham Avinu did what he did out of love and loyalty to Hashem because he believed in doing the right thing and it was valued by God. So I'm going to share with you a Medrash Tanchuma, but first I'm going to share with you a Tosefta, which is a codicil to Masechet Sota. Tosefta number 4 of that Masechet says the following. Matzino bi Avraham, we find with Avraham, Shemido shemodat ba modadu loy. The measure that he used, he received. In the way he treated, he was treated. What does this mean? Says the Tosefta, number 1, Rats lefne ha-malachim, he ran before the malachim. And the Medrash says, Shaloi shritzois. There are three times, in which we emphasize that Avraham rushes. And the three times are, Vayar, Vayaratz, he saw, and he ran. And the second time is, Vayimaher Avraham, Avraham rushed into the tent to Sarah, verse 6. And then we have verse 7, Ve'al ha-bokar rots Avraham. Says the Tosefta, Af ha-mokim rots lefnei bonov. Hashem rushed to the children of Avraham. Shalosh ritzes, with three, so to speak, sprints. As it says, Vayomer Hashem misinei bo, Vizoruch miseir lomai, Hefir mahar poron. These are three different expressions which are found in Parshat Vezot HaBracha that speak about how Hashem approached the Jewish people to give them the Torah. And it uses the words, Misinai Ba, he came from Sinai to give them the Torah. And then it says, Zorach, it uses the terminology of Hishon, light is the fastest thing in the world. If nothing travels faster than light. Photons travel faster than anything else. And then it says, Hifia, Hifia means to appear, like appear in a flash. So it says, Ba, then it says, Zorach, and then it says, Hifia. He came, he shone, like light, he radiated, and then he appeared. So these things show coming faster and faster. And the Tosefta says, this is a reward for Avram. So clearly what Avram did earns him reward. And we cannot simply say this is out of necessity, or Avram had to do it. The Medrash sees within this something of great importance. Another interesting Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Vayar Vayaratz. Guess what happened when Avram Avinu started to run? You take a guess. The Medrash says, Hischal Dam Hamila Letaftef. He started to bleed. This is painful stuff. Amar LeHaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says to Avram, you're running to do a mitzvah? To the point that you're ready to bleed for a mitzvah? Chayecha, by your very life, Shebeschuscha ani ochis al bonecha. In your merit, I will show compassion to your children. Bishnei damim, with two bloods. V'Ephraim isaneim, and I will exact retribution from their enemies. Shenemar, says the Medrash Tanchuma, v'ever alayech v'erech mizbeiseses b'domoyech. This is a pasuk in the Nevuah of Yecheskel, in the 16th chapter of Yecheskel. If it's familiar to you, it's probably because you remember reciting it in the Haggadah, and it's part of our Magid, part of the telling part of the Haggadah. And we talk about Shnei Damim, we talk about two bloods, and then we have this pasuk that says, b'domoyech hayi, you should live, so to speak, by your blood, which is the end of that pasuk. And what is this? This is referring to Zedam Pesach and Zedam Mila, the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the Bris Mila, which are the two mitzvahs that the Jewish people did on the eve of their exit from Mitzrayim, just before the Exodus. And it was in merit of Avraham Avinu's running and his willingness to bleed for a mitzvah that the Jewish people are later repaid. So clearly, it's not just out of necessity that Avraham Avinu ran, but there was an emphasis on Avraham Avinu performing his mitzvah of hospitality with great haste. Okay, this is very clear. You really can argue with this. I demonstrated it to you clearly. It doesn't mean there aren't other ideas being conveyed here. I'm going to give you one very interesting example of Elabaka Ratz. Why does the Torah have to tell us that Avraham Avinu rushed into following the calf? Really, what difference does that make? In the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, and there's something similar that's found in the Zohar also, in the 36th chapter, it says, do you know what Avraham Avinu is running after? He's running after this calf because the calf was running, and he had no choice because he wanted to grab it. But the calf was leading him because the calf was running before him, and Avraham followed him into a cave. Well, not just any cave, a double cave, also known as Ma'aras Machpelah. V'nichnas achar sham, he followed him in. U'matza sham Adam v'chava, he found there Adam v'chava. Nobody knew where Adam v'chava were. Right? Noach went for a cruise, and nobody knew exactly what was where. And he found them sheikh v'alamitis, whether this means literal or midrashic, we don't know, laying on their beds, sleeping. Neiris delkin aleim, there was a halo, a glow above them. Reich tov aleim, a beautiful aroma or a smell. Kareach nichayach, like the smell of an offering before Hashem, whatever this means. Leficha chomed es amayda machpelo lachuz es kever, he said, this is where I want to be buried. And elsewhere, there's this idea that Avraham Avinu actually began to pray at the site or spot. For the next 25 years, Avraham Avinu prayed at the graves of Avraham and Chava. This idea of praying at the grave of a tzaddik is about 3,700 years old for Jewish people. That's what the first Jew did before he ever built a shul. He prayed at the resting site of righteous ancestors. Okay, but let's leave this aside. And the truth is that the Baal HaTurim, he says the words Ve'el HaBaka Ratz are the same gematria of the words Ratz Lamara, running into a cave. So of course the Torah speaks to us on many levels, and of course there's all kinds of remazim, all kinds of things which are hinted at and alluded to, and the Torah has many, many layers of meaning in its communication to us. No question. But at a literal level, Avraham Avinu definitely ran. He ran literally, and he ran not only because Hashem wanted to guide him and show him where Adam and Chavah were, he ran because he wanted to do a mitzvah. And homiletically speaking, our sages saw within this a tremendous virtue and value of Avraham Avinu's willingness to do a mitzvah. It wasn't only what he did, but it was also how he did it. Big emphasis on this.
Is this the same Machpelah that he later buys?
This is the very same Machpelah that Avraham Avinu later buys, yeah. But that's a subject for another day. So now, the question that I place before you is, why is it so important for Avraham Avinu to run, especially in light of the fact that he had just had a bris milah? Surely the fact that he was willing to perform Achnasas Archim should have been powerful enough. Why did he have to run? What was the emphasis? And Hashem values it so much that things are going to happen hundreds of years later just to repay Avraham, not for what he did, but how he did it. So, I will introduce a school of thought to you, and then I will attempt to tell you why I think the school of thought is wrong. And then I will tell you what I think is the pshat. In a sefer called Oitze Plois HaTorah, which is a fairly recent sefer, he suggests that this could best be understood in light of something written in a Shailus HaTshuvos, in a halachic responsa sefer called Dvar Avraham, which was printed at the end of the last century. And he says there in this book of responsa, the author, who was the rabbi of Kanus, Kovne. So this Rav from Kovne, he shares a fascinating vignette in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim purportedly said that when somebody brings a poor person home for dinner on Friday night, you should serve the food immediately with great haste, because the meal is like tzedakah, and tzedakah, you're not supposed to hold back, you're not supposed to pay slowly, you're supposed to fulfill your pledges immediately. So even though we learn that somebody who gives, who makes a pledge to give tzedakah, will not violate his pledge until three yamim tovim pass, which is a remnant of a biblical idea about offerings, about korbanot, about neder and adava, that a person promises to bring an offering. So until three ragolim and three yamim tovim pass, you don't formally violate bal ta'acher. But nonetheless, there would be this issue of a person delaying, not doing a mitzvah as quickly as he should. And he claims that the Chafetz Chaim used to skip the singing of Shalom Aleichem because maybe his guests were hungry. And he makes a lot of hay of this, and he says, this is what it's all about. Avraham Avinu was concerned with their hunger, and because he was concerned with their hunger, he wanted to do a mitzvah quickly, and this idea of doing a mitzvah in haste, and mitzvahs should be done in haste, and that's all you should be focused on when you do the mitzvah. So, it's interesting, it's a very compelling approach, but here's why I think he's wrong. Here's why I think there has to be something more than simply doing a mitzvah in haste or being concerned with bal ta'acher, delaying of a mitzvah. And I'll tell you why. There's an idea that when we perform a mitzvah, we should do it with something called zrizut, which means alacrity. A mitzvah should be done very quickly. The expression is zrizin makdimin lemitzvah. And this is something which is brought down. It's a Gemara in Meseches Psachim on page 4. It's mentioned in Meseches Yoma on page 28. The Rambam brings it down in Hilchas Mila, right in the beginning, in the first chapter, Halacha 8. And this is talked about in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerdedeya in chapter 262. And the Halacha is as follows. That when it comes time to doing a Bris Mila, we know that the circumcision, the Bris Mila, the entering of the child into the covenant happens on the eighth day. It can be done any time of the eighth day. But ideally, it should be done first thing in the morning. As the expression goes, mitzvah, it is a mitzvah, lahagdim betchilas hayoim, to do it right away. And how do we know it's a mitzvah to do it right away? How do we know mitzvahs should be done with haste? Because it says in this week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, Vayashkim Avraham Babaker, Avraham rose early in the morning, Vayachbesh Eschamoyre,
and he saddled his donkey. What is this talking about? This is talking about Avraham Avinu setting off for the Akedah. So the origin of this teaching is actually from a medrash. To be exact, it's a medrash at Teres Koyinim and a medrash Tanchuma. And the medrash says like this. Vayashkim Avraham Babaker, says the medrash. This teaches us that even though it says Ubayoy Mashmini on the eighth day, Melameid Shekola Yeim Kosha Lemila, that the whole day is appropriate for performing a bris milah, hazrizin makdimin lemitzvahs. Those who want to do a mitzvah right, don't dilly-dally, don't waste time, but you do a mitzvah immediately. In other words, a mitzvah with haste. Seize the moment. And how do we know? Because it says, Vayashkim Avram, Baboiker, Avram woke first thing in the morning, Vayachbesh eschamayre. Or as it says in other midrashim, Loma bahashkoma, why in the morning? Shehazrizin makdim lemitzvahs. Because if you want to do a mitzvah, you should do a mitzvah immediately. Do a mitzvah, rush to do a mitzvah. So I ask you a simple question. If we learn the idea of zrizin makdim lemitzvahs, that when a mitzvah comes your way, you should do it immediately. And if we learn it from Avraham Avinu, and if we learn it about a bris milah, why wouldn't we use the beginning of the parsha, the opening part of the parsha, which says that Avraham Avinu is vayarotz, vayemaher, velabakarotz? If this is just about doing a mitzvah with haste, why did Chazal pass over the beginning of the parsha and go to the end of the parsha? This is the first thing Avraham saw, vayar, he saw them, immediately vayarotz. We have Chazal discuss, why didn't Avraham go at night? Why did he wait till the morning? Various reasons why he didn't go at night. But you have to almost explain that. Here, you want to see real zrizos? You want to see the perfect example of doing a mitzvah with alacrity? Vayarotz! So you say, oh, maybe there's another opinion. There is another opinion. There's another opinion that says that how do we know that you have to behave in a way which is swift, immediate? Because there's another parsha, another pasuk, also about Avraham Avinu. And where is this parsha about, pasuk about Avraham Avinu? This is when Avraham Avinu, after the Malachim leave, and they head off to destroy. Avraham Avinu comes in the morning after Sodom is destroyed. And then it says, Vayashkim Avraham Babaker. Avraham comes back to that place. So the Gemara in Psachim, learning from Genesis 19, verse 27, Vayashkim Avraham Baker. The Gemara in Seches Psachim says, Tanya Kolayim Kosha Limila, the whole yom is appropriate for Brismila, Elish Azizim, Magdim Limitzvis. How do we know this? Shanemar, Vayashkim Avraham Baker. So Avraham rose early in the morning. How do we learn it from the story of hospitality? Three times in a row. Not he got up, he ran. Here's just timing. He got up early in the morning. Here is what he did. The first second he saw these people, as soon as he saw them, he rushed to a mitzvah. How come Chazal passed it over? And incredibly enough, there's a Me'iri in his commentary on Maseches Yoma. And the Me'iri says, Zrizin Makdimin, that those who do a mitzvah with alacrity should do it first thing in the morning, the bris milah, he says. And he says, it's really about Le'echas Bedarkei Ha'avos. It's to follow in the ways of our patriarchs. And how do we know this? Kayoitzeba. You want to know where else we see this, he says? Vayashkem Avraham Babaker. Because we see that Avraham rose early in the morning. Rabbi Yosef Engel in Gilyanei HaShas wants to suggest that there's the Arishonim who say that Zizus is a mitzvah, a biblical commandment almost. It's biblically ordained. And he suggests that for the Me'iri, we see it's not a biblical responsibility, you're not obligated, but it's about lechaz bedakya avos. It's about following in the path that Avraham Avinu had trodden for us. And I'm asking, I don't understand. If you want to follow Avraham, how come nobody's mentioning Avraham Avinu's running, rushing, vayimahir, rutz, running, rushing, to do the idea of hospitality? He doesn't waste a nanosecond. And then we have a teaching from another mitzvah, v'shmarta mitzvah matzeis, who really is our mitzvahs. You should watch the mitzvah, mitzvah and matzah, they're spelled the same way. And just like if you don't make the matzah in haste, it rises and it'll be chametz. If you don't do a mitzvah in haste, you lose the opportunity. Hey, what happened to Parshas Vayera? What happened to Avraham Avinu's running? What happened to his rushing? Why does this get passed over? So it seems to me that there must be something far more meaningful than just doing a mitzvah in haste. There's a reason that Chazal and the Rishonim did not look towards the beginning of Parshas Vayera, but rather they looked to later on in the Parsha, to Vayashkim Avraham Babayker. Avraham definitely is our paradigm. He's our hero. He did a mitzvah with haste. But there must be some reason why we didn't focus on doing mitzvahs with haste at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. So here, my dear friends, is my suggestion. Let me take you forward to the end of the Parsha. In the end of the Parsha, and this is where Avraham Avinu settles in a place called Be'er Sheva. Earlier, everything that happens is happening in Hebron. Later, Avraham Avinu comes to Be'er Sheva. And why does he come to Be'er Sheva? A whole story with Avraham Avinu going, and he has conflict, and he's digging wells, and he's trying to help people, and they're getting in his way. It all came from a famine. All story, you know, like Avraham Avinu's story. And he comes to Be'er Sheva, and what does he do? And the Torah says, Genesis 21, 33, the Torah says that after Avraham Avinu cleared up all the issues with Avimelech, who was the king, and Fichos Hatzvai, his chief of staff, Avraham clears all this up. And then when Avraham is finished with the politics and the fights, and he's established, he turns his attention towards the mitzvah of hospitality. What does he do? Vayita Eshel. He plants an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. What is an Eshel? An Eshel. So like Ibn Ezra says he planted trees. It was an orchard. It provided shade. So Avraham Avinu he's creating an environment that will allow him to provide hospitality. That's what it says. Vayita Eshel. The Medrash Tilim on Psalm 110 says, Mahu Eshel. What is Eshel? Eshel is an acronym. Achila, Shasia, Leviya. That Avraham Avinu provided food, drink, and an escort home. He walked you out the door. That's what the Medrash says. And that's Eshel. That's what an Eshel is. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Evel, in the beginning of the 14th chapter, and this is a quote, Mitzvah sa'asei shel divrehem, it is a rabbinic mitzvah, levaker cholim, to visit the sick, lenachem avelim, to offer condolences to those in mourning, ulehoitzi hames, to escort the dead on their final journey, attend the funeral, Lahachnis akala, to attend the wedding and participate, vililveis ha'orchim, and to escort your guests out when they come. And then the Rambam says something absolutely unbelievable. Schar halavoya, the reward, he says, for escorting a person out, merubu min hakol. Walking somebody out, the most. It's more than eating, it's more than drinking, it's more, walking somebody out. And he says, quote, V'hu ha'choik shechakokoy Avraham Avinu. This is the statute that was established by our first father Abraham. Derech ha'chesed shenohag bo. This is the manner and methodology and kindness that Avraham behaved in, namely, ma'achil oivrei drachim, he would feed travelers, umashka isab, he'd give them to drink. He provided nourishment and hydration. Umelave oison. And then he would escort them out. So here's the problem. The Rambam is not, in this halacha, talking about feeding or giving drink to poor people or needy people. The Rambam is talking about escorting, visiting. He's talking about livui ha'orchim. He's talking about escorting the guests out. So why does the Rambam mention machil, mashke, he gave them food, he gave them to drink, And after nourishment and hydration, then he walked them out. If the Rambam wants to emphasize it was Avraham Avinu who established this principle that when you provide for a guest, you walk them out, he simply could have said, "Hachoik shechakoke Avraham Avinu," the statute established by Avraham, "the chesed shenagba sheliva es archav." He would escort his guests out. What is he talking about? The eating and the drinking? We know what Avraham did. If somebody doesn't know, let him go learn. Why is that part of the halacha? So the Rebbe suggests that the Rambam's intention is to explain to you why the escort is so important and why it seems to color the whole experience of the hospitality offered. And he says that when you walk the guest out, this indicates you're actually interested in the guests you had. And not only are you interested in having people over and feeding them or giving them to drink, but actually you're interested in them as individuals to the point that you walk them out. And by walking them out, you give the person the feeling that you actually care about them. You actually care about them. In other words, that it's not only about the actual hospitality given, but that ultimately this is indicative of the fact that you care about the person themselves. And this suggests that Ebbe is the emphasis or the point being made here, where Avraham Avinu's Derech HaChesed was not just what he did, but how he did it. The Rebbe says, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, we generally speaking emphasize the recipient. What happens if a person loses money and the money is found by a poor person who goes on to buy himself something to eat and drink? Do you get the mitzvah of tzedakah? You never gave tzedakah. In fact, you're gnashing your teeth that you dropped the $50. You're kicking yourself. How did I do that again? And it turns out a poor person found the money, and the poor person benefited. So there's an incredible halacha that says, you get the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why? Because your residuals, your money, fed somebody who needed it. But I didn't give tzedakah. I didn't want to give tzedakah. Well, maybe. But tzedakah is actually not about you. Instead, it's about the recipient. In certain faith systems, we talk about, quote, give till it hurts. Or real charity is when you really don't want to do it and you force yourself to do it. That's a real mitzvah of tzedakah. The Rambam, when he talks about in Matnas Aniyim, he talks about 8 different levels of tzedakah, and none of the levels are forcing yourself to give. All of the levels of tzedakah are about the recipient. In fact, the highest level of tzedakah is when you didn't give anything, when you gave somebody a loan. Why? Because when a person accepts tzedakah, do you know what he pays for that when he accepts the tzedakah? He pays with his dignity. He takes the money and gives away his dignity. Some people don't want to take. So when you give him a loan, he didn't lose his dignity. Because old people take loans. Rich people take loans. He's just not liquid right now. So if you can save his dignity, that's the highest form of tzedakah. What's the next form of tzedakah? You're giving, and the person doesn't know from whom they're getting. Mm-hmm. Or the person knows from whom they're getting, but you don't know who's taking. You don't know who's getting. All of these are step-down levels of preservation of dignity. The emphasis is always on the recipient. And then it says you should give with a smile. Why? Because when you give with a smile, a person feels good. But when you give him with a frown, I say, are you again? Fine. And you throw $5 at him. How does the person feel? He wants to give it back to you. Maybe he doesn't because he has no choice. But the attitude can really rob him of every ounce, every vestige of the dignity that he might have had. And the Rambam even says, what happens if you can't help? Then you should give kind words. Say, Hashem should help you. You should be doing so well, you should be giving others. Make him feel good. In other words, we always emphasize within the framework of Yiddish tzedakah, we always emphasize How did the recipient feel? It's not about how you felt about it. It's not about how you did it. It's about how did they feel. What if I smiled? I gave my brightest smile, but inside my kishkas were turning over. I didn't feel good about this. I hated every second of it, but I got a smile. So I put on my winning smile that could win me an Oscar, and I smile away, and I give the tzedakah, and I feel miserable about doing it inside. Person has no idea. All he knows, he got a smile. He's happy. He got a smile. Life is great. I got money and a smile. That's fine. The mitzvah was done. However, when it comes to hospitality, the Rebbe says, there's a different element. Because a moment of giving, you know, anybody can fake for a moment. Fake moments are not hard. But you have somebody over in the house for an extended period of time, at a certain point, if you really don't like what you're doing, or if you really don't care about a person, it's going to come through. How did Avraham Avinu do chesed? How did Avraham Avinu do hospitality? He did it out of love. He did it out of kindness. He did it because he wanted to do it. And you know how we know he wanted to do it? Because even when he was finished doing it, he didn't stop. He walked you out the door. The Rebbe says, when a person is walked out the door, what does he think to himself? My presence was appreciated. My being here was valued. This is a person who was happy that I came. That's why they walked me out the door. Because when you think about it, walking somebody out the door is not really the mitzvah of hospitality per se. I'm no longer giving anything. The hospitality could be food. The hospitality could be drink. The hospitality could be a moment of comfort. But that's past now. The food has been eaten. The hydration has been completed. The washroom was used. The comfort was enjoyed. Now it's over. It's over. So you say Yiddish, Gegezun Tehet, you know. Goodbye, Charlie. So no, Avraham Avinu said, it's not. You have to walk him out. Because when you walk him out, what are you showing?
Respect.
You're showing you really care about the person. And that kind of makes the food drunk, the food eaten, and the coffee drunk feel and taste better also. Because a person leaves thinking, he cares about me. This person actually cares about me. And guess what? Avraham really did. He really cared about people. So we have to be like Avraham, which means we shouldn't only speak about tzedakah as far as the recipient is concerned. We have to actually be kind and be hospitable in a manner that demonstrates our willingness. Now, not only in a manner that demonstrates a willingness, we actually have to be excited about doing it. That is Avraham's hospitality. Avraham's hospitality was not just how he did what he gave. It's how he did it. He did it because he wanted to be hospitable. And that's how the Rebbe explains this whole business of Leviyah, why Leviyah is so important. And the Rambam goes on to say some pretty extraordinary words about Leviyah. The expression goes, Kol mi she'eini malava. This is the words of the Rambam finishes off. Anybody who doesn't escort the person out, ki'ilu shefer damim, it's like he spilled the person's blood. I gave food, I gave drink, he used my washroom, I gave him everything. I didn't walk him out. He spilled his blood. Why did I spill his blood for? Because when a person feels that he was given, but doesn't feel that the person actually cared about him, what does he feel like? He feels like a schnorrer. He feels like a loser. He feels like a beggar. Nobody likes to feel like a beggar. Nobody likes to feel like a schnorrer. Are you done yet? Did he leave yet? No, he's leaving in 5 minutes. Thank God. Avraham Avinu made sure when you left, he didn't only get what you needed, but he gave it to you as the hostess with the mostess, and not because that was superficial. He wasn't a steward or a stewardess who was trained to smile till his cheeks hurt. He actually cared about the people. And because he actually cared about the people, he went above and beyond his duty to demonstrate this. Not because he was demonstrating something. He acted in the way that he did it because he really cared. That's why he escorted. Not he escorted to show that he cared, but because he cared, he made the escort. In other words, you should give the hospitality like Avraham Avinu gave. If you're going to be hospitable, then you should invite somebody in the way Avraham Avinu did. Namely, you should be happy about it. You should be excited about it.
Now the truth is, Hakol Holech Achar Hachitum. Everything it says follows the conclusion. So if somebody was warmly welcomed, but essentially thrown at the door, they don't feel so good about themselves. But if somebody was warmly welcomed and warmly treated, and then warmly escorted out, then they feel really good. So the lesson that the Rambam teaches us is from Avraham Avinu's escorting the person out. I would like to humbly suggest that this idea already shows up in the beginning. This is how Avraham Avinu did hospitality. He ran. He rushed. He did everything as quickly as he could. Do you know why? Because he cared. Because he really cared. Who goes running? He has every excuse not to run. He just had surgery. Why is he running? What does the running tell us about Avraham Avinu? He wasn't going through the motions and forcing himself. He really cared. That's why he ran. When does somebody run for something? When they really want it. So I found this amazing thing. There's a Zohar. It's somewhere here. The Zohar says about this pasuk, "Vela Bakar Atz Avram." Okay, so the Zohar takes this pasuk in a whole different direction, and the Zohar speaks about a tzaddik's neshama leaving this world, and that's the vayar vayaratz lekrosom. But here's what's interesting about in the Zohar. The Zohar says that it's leishabra bahu v'ched v'sadilei leismashcha abasrayu, because this is a person leaving one reality, going to another reality. But he interprets the word as vayaratz. Vayaratz means with joy. That's what the Zohar says. The vayaratz means with joy. I'm not talking about the subject matter of the Zohar itself, which is used as a metaphor for something else. But I want to emphasize the words of the Zohar is that running is a sign of being joyous and happy about something. And that's why Avraham Avinu ran. And that's why the Medrash makes so much hay out of this. And yes, there may have been technical reasons why Avram ran, but ultimately when we have three times, we're running three times in a row, then a compelling pattern emerges, and this is the Torah talking to us about hospitality. This is not the mitzvah of tzedakah. This is not a question of just doing a mitzvah with alacrity, doing it with zizus. When Chazal wanted to show that you have to do a mitzvah with zizus, they found a mitzvah and they said, oh, vayashkim Avram babaker. And as the Meiri says, when you're going to do a bris milah, it's a little queasy. So let's delay it. We'll do it this afternoon. When Avraham Avinu was bringing his son to an akedah, was he happy about it? Could he have been any happier than you are? It's a mitzvah. He was happy about it. Okay, fine. From there we learn zizus. But Chazal never suggested we learn zizus from vayar vayaratz, from vayimaher, from velabokaratz. Do you know why? I don't know for sure, but I think this is why. I think because the Parsha's discussion of hospitality is not about zrizin. It's not about doing a mitzvah with alacrity, but rather it's a detail in hospitality. It's teaching us the meaning of achnasas archim. That in as much as invariably tzedakah is about the recipient, hospitality has to be done with a sense of gladness and joy. You need to be excited about hospitality. If you're not excited to host people, then you're not walking in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. And when you walk in the footsteps of Avraham and Sarah, and when you do things with haste, when you do things which means you want to do it, that's the meaning of doing it with haste. When you don't want to do something, you do it, but you drag your feet. When you do something because you want to do it, it gets done like this. So when you give hospitality and you do it because you want to do it, then you're like Avraham. And what was Avraham able to do through his hospitality? He influenced people. He changed their lives. He was the most influential salesman in all of history. One man, one woman, without the aid of a telegraph, fax machine, or WhatsApp. They didn't have Facebook Messenger. They didn't have social media, Snapchat. And yet, they were able to change the whole world. How'd they do it? Because of hospitality. But how'd that work? What was the most important component in the hospitality that enabled them to influence people so?
Sincerity.
Because they really cared. Because they really cared. Somebody once told me that a rabbi who written a book upon his retirement wrote, "This is my first start of my career, if you want to call it that." And the rabbi wrote, quote, he said, "A rabbi should be a good speaker, but his community will forgive him if he isn't."
a rabbi should be scholarly, but his community will forgive him if he isn't. A rabbi should be a good organizer, administrator, but his community will forgive him if he isn't. He said, then he writes, a rabbi must care about his people. And if he doesn't, his community will never forgive him. So in other words, what's really about, it's really about caring. And the truth is, it's not about a rabbi. Because every yid has a responsibility to be a teacher. And every yid has a responsibility to be a source of influence. And do you know how you become a source of influence? When you care. Simple as that. If you care about other people, they will respond in kind. They will know that you care about them. If you care about them, you will influence them. This, my dear friends, is the legacy of Avraham Avinu. And our sages understood why the Vayaretz was so important. So Avraham ran. No. That running, being able to care about people when you're in the middle of recovering from surgery, you have every reason not to care. Okay, I don't want to care about anybody for a change. I'm Avraham. My whole life I cared about the whole world, and now I just want to wallow in a little self-pity. I want to wallow in pain a little bit. You know, I'm unhappy now. I can't care about anybody now. And when Avraham Avinu was able to be Mizgaber, when he could overcome his natural inclination, his natural tendencies, and despite it all, when he could care about others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you cared, I will care about your children. And that's why these verses and these words and these descriptive terms ultimately encapsulate the true essence of Avraham Avinu's holy hospitality. I think that's pretty cool.